And didn't need to do that because I would think that most of you listeners.
You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Hey, I'm Spike Priggin, host of the Bedazzled Radio Hour. Broadcast every week from 12:10 until 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon, live from Spike's Record Rack, 400 Main Street in the village of Catskill. Every Wednesday, I play pop, rock, soul, country, blues, reggae, and other obscurities, and once in a while, a hit or two. Please check out the Bedazzled Radio Hour with Spike Priggin on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acra, every Wednesday from 12:10 until 2.
Wave Farms WGXE is made possible in part by the generous support of Sean Mooney of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences. Now home to The Witching Hour, a series that pays tribute to the special hour of night that welcomes the alluring and terrifying. In February, experience the 70s all over again on the big screen with The Stepford Wives, Carrie, Don't Look Now, and The Wicker Man. Every Wednesday night. Information at upstatefilms.org.
90.7 FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, February 19th. Local early morning temperatures range from 8 degrees in Tannersville to 19 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is still 33 degrees. Today, winds calm down. We get a high of 24 degrees at 2 p.m. No lake effect is expected, but that is not a promise. Overnight, temperatures fall to 9 degrees. Tomorrow will be similar to today with a high of 25 at 2 p.m. Overnight isn't as bad. We get a low of 18 degrees. Friday, windy with a high of 28. Saturday, still no normal snow. We get a high of 36. Sunset today will be at 5:18 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:42 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be average at 500 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently a little trouble below 7 megahertz overnight with an S3 level noise floor. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 187. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Your old haunts, this little taunts, happy times, petty crimes, the scenes you made. Too late.
you watch it fade till you can't see it anymore.
Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine appealed to the Trump administration on Wednesday to respect the truth and avoid disinformation in discussing the war that began with a Russian invasion of his country in his first response to President Trump's suggestion that Ukraine had started the war. That for the New York Times, they report, I would like to have more truth with the Trump team, Zelensky told reporters in Kyiv. Zelensky said the U.S. president was living in a disinformation space and in a circle of disinformation. And a piece of Arizona legislation with bipartisan backing is aiming to bring better oversight and protections of groundwater across five basins in rural Arizona.
The bill's sponsor, Senator Priya Sundaresan, explains that the Rural Groundwater Management Act of 2025 would create water management programs that would have a say over conservation efforts and would strive to reduce groundwater use while improving the state of aquifers. SB 1425 and its mirrored bill in the House would also create local councils to monitor the basins. Sundaresan says the bill is intended to protect folks from out-of-state entities that flock to Arizona for its lack of regulation, ultimately leaving communities dry.
Residents whose wells are going dry, their foundations are cracking because the groundwater has been depleted so much that the aquifers are settling. You have large-scale industrial agriculture that has moved in because of the complete lack of regulation.
I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
And fully funding New York City's public transit system could reduce crime, although it's been a controversial idea.
Even as Mayor Eric Adams and Governor Kathy Hochul have increased security system-wide, fare evasion is a major crime in the city's public transit system. Last year alone, more than 143,000 tickets were given out to people for not paying their fares. Reporter Justin A. Davis, who writes about this issue for Yes Media, says it's been challenging to fund public transit fully.
Public transportation is always a hard sell. In New York in particular, you're dealing with the interplay between local funding and state funding. Obviously, MTA has had a major budget budget crisis in recent years, and so there have been a lot of different questions posed about what exactly to do about it.
It's estimated fully funding the agency would cost more than $68 billion, which would be helped by congestion pricing in New York City. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Next, the GLP-1 medication trend has taken the health and wellness world by a storm, largely hailed as a game changer for weight loss. New research suggests the benefits of these drugs extend beyond shedding pounds. Orlando Health cardiologist Dr. Francisco Perea described GLP-1 as a game changer in managing both diabetes and heart health.
The control of all of these factors is fundamental to decreasing the development of cholesterol plaques in the arteries.
The potential of GLP-1 to address health disparities is particularly relevant for Hispanic communities, where rates of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease exceed national averages. This is Public News Service.
Utah Governor Spencer Cox has signed House Bill 267 into law, a controversial measure that takes away the collective bargaining rights of public employee unions.
Many union workers voiced their concerns and urged Cox to veto the bill, which they contend would damage unions. But the bill's sponsor, Republican Representative Jordan Tusher, says he's heard from many teachers and other public sector workers in the right-to-work state who weren't part of a union and felt they didn't have a voice. He says now the bill will allow them to negotiate their own employment terms.
Teachers talked about where they had an idea, a change that they wanted in insurance as an example, and they went to the administration to ask them about that. And the administration said, well, you're going to have to go talk to the union about it. And so they go to the union to talk about it. And the union says, well, you're not a member. We don't really care what you think.
Tusher contends the law will make public employers' wages and benefits more competitive. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
And FBI data show North Dakotans lost nearly $6 million to cryptocurrency scams in 2023. A bill advancing in the legislature would try to limit those losses by adding safeguards to a financial trend that has little oversight.
The measure, overwhelmingly approved by the House this week, would require operators of crypto kiosks to be licensed. Experts say the kiosks, which look similar to a traditional ATM, are used to convert real cash to virtual money like Bitcoin, but they can also serve as a vehicle for fraud. Representative Ben Koppelman says someone might pose as law enforcement, warning a person about suspicious activity with the funds in their bank account.
They suggest depositing it in this kiosk, and then, of course, it goes to the fraudster's account, and it's tough to get that money back.
One of the other provisions says receipts would need to be provided so that law enforcement has a paper trail to work with in the event of a scam. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, environmentalists say a bill passed by the U.S. House meant to curtail forest fires in New Mexico and elsewhere will do no such thing and are encouraging senators to vote against it.
The Fix Our Forests Act would reform NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act. The 55-year-old law requires environmental reviews and public input for major federal actions such as new logging, which supporters of the act say would mitigate wildfire risks. Dan Ritzman with the Sierra Club believes the deceptively named bill would undermine environmental protections.
The Sierra Club has long supported science-based responsible forest management. We echo the experts who support prescribed burns, responsible forest management, and we support home and community hardening to make neighborhoods and cities more resilient in the face of fire.
I'm Roz Brown.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You'll have all the love you want, baby, baby. You'll have all the love you want, and with all the love you want, baby, you'll be so well off. If you are industrious, you will one day be illustrious. You'll have all the love you want, baby. You'll be so well off.
Mm-hmm.
be illustrious. You'll have all the love you want, baby. You'll be so well off.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. The Trump administration wants to deport 13 million immigrants, but New Mexico law enforcement, including Taos County Sheriff, says their job is enforcing state law and upholding the Constitution, not rounding up migrants. As Daily Yonder's Anya Slepian reports, the rural county is vast and has limited resources.
Taos County has 35,000 people spread over 2,200 square miles, and Sheriff Steve Miera only has money for around 15 deputies.
Slepian says the sheriff has backing from the state's attorney general, who says raids break down the public trust police depend on. Then there's federal law.
Under federal law, local police and sheriff departments can choose to enter a contract with ICE, but so far, none in New Mexico have done it.
State lawmakers are considering a measure to prohibit expenditures that help enforce federal immigration laws. New Hampshire could lose tourists driving EVs for lack of charging stations. Julia Tilton reports a federal funding freeze has further complicated the issue.
A study estimates the state could lose $1.4 billion tourism dollars by 2031 from the slow rollout of public EV chargers. Sam Evans Brown with Clean Energy New Hampshire says they found it's a huge problem.
Imagine if during one summer, no tourists came to New Hampshire at all. That would be like the biggest headline you would see.
And a Trump administration freeze of $5 billion supporting charger construction puts future projects at risk. James Penfold at local installer Revision Energy says without it, small businesses can't afford to build their own.
It's really disappointing for the state that there are no incentives to just help defray some of that cost.
I'm Julia Tilton.
High poverty levels mean education disparities, but local and national groups are stepping up. Yolanda Miner is the director for Mississippi Save the Children. She says they're working to improve outcomes in the most underserved areas.
And some of the barriers are poverty, lack of access to high-quality early education, teacher shortages, and geographic isolation.
She says even getting kids to the classroom can be a challenge, but one solution is partnering with churches and school districts to create tutoring hubs. Similar programming is happening in Appalachian Kentucky. Nick Carrington with Save the Children says they aim to boost access to high-quality early education programs such as Head Start.
We're currently working with 25 rural communities across 8 states. So we're learning from them, they're learning from each other to strengthen their work.
Research shows nearly 1 in 7 rural students live in poverty. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Professional ski mountaineer Caroline Gleick has long seen the impacts of climate change up close, from shrinking snowpack in the mountains of Utah to melting glaciers in the Himalayas. And she's concerned and frustrated that political leaders are not doing more to address the crisis.
Instead of sitting on the sidelines and being a critic, I was like, I'm going to put my hat in the ring and I'm going to run.
Last year, Gleick ran as the Democratic candidate to represent Utah in the U.S. Senate. Climate change was central to her platform, so she says it provided an opportunity to help educate voters about the issue.
It was a really important opportunity to center a campaign around the topic and to really bring it to the forefront of people's minds.
She was a long-shot candidate in the red state and lost the election, but she hopes her example helps inspire other people concerned about climate change to step up and get involved.
And whether you want to run to serve your neighborhood, your county, your city, or your state, there are so many different offices available to get into shaping public policy. And I think it's up to us to become the leaders that we want to see. Our voices really matter, and we have to keep showing up and speaking up.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Genji fireflies were considered the harbingers of summer in Japanese culture. Celebrated in poetry and art, their prized yellow-green glow put them in high demand, and the species nearly perished from commercial harvesting and habitat degradation. They were literally being loved to death.
In the early 1990s, the Firefly Forest Museum in Moriyama got proactive through public education and community outreach to clean up and restore the Genji's natural habitat. The museum gave lectures on the history and ecology of the lightning bugs in local schools and offered museum activities and courses and promoted firefly-friendly tourism. By 2023, the Genji firefly population was on the rebound through a coalition of national, local, and private efforts. Communities started cleaning up their waterways and restoring the moss along their riverbanks that is so critical to the bug's life cycle. Citizens continue to collect data on Genji populations and behavior, which is shared with researchers and conservationists. And local farmers are incorporating more environmentally friendly agricultural methods, while artists and historians continue to celebrate the beauty of these glowing insects. Today, Genji fireflies are a symbol of national pride, and their future burns bright thanks to a healthy love from the people of Japan. And this is Mandy from GoodNewsGoodPlanet.com.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.